I was going to be able to talk about something, but I got so bad. Not much better now. I missed Saturday, and that really messed me up. Because I couldn't get a hold of them. I didn't know if they wanted me to come in or not, because I'd thrown up. I got sick. Well, you still happen to answer the phone there. Mr. Scott. Everybody know Mr. Scott's back?
Scott's back. Yeah.
People for a light of the Gentiles. to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Y'all see this all in light of Pentecost? The beginning of the of Christ, the humility, the point of weakness, the place of waiting, the idea of judgment, where you have been judged, you've been found lacking, and we all have seen our own inability to perform that which is good, that which is right, and by the meekness and humility of Christ, by that instrument, not by great physical force, in fact, no physical force, no exertion whatsoever, a bruised reed won't even break, smoking flax won't even be quenched. So it's by no force whatsoever, and yet he will accomplish that which God has sent him to do. Throws us into a place of, by our understanding, surrendering.
It reminds me of telling a kid no, and the kid goes nuts and throws a tantrum and runs around and bounces off the wall and screams and cries and kicks, and sooner or later gets tired.
Yeah.
And exhausted and quiets down. And the answer is still no.
And it's still no.
It's like God. That's God. God's right. God's eternal. So we can throw temper tantrums for 10,000 years. The point is, God is still.
He's God. He reigns, and he will get what he has ordained.
And doesn't have to.
Right.
I mean, the father of lies has to do things like change things.
Yeah, twist your arm. Yeah. Let it go.
God's got a turn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he can whisper his commandment, and it has the same force as if he uses thunder and lightning. I've done that many times with my kids sometimes. You know, you get mad and they won't do what you say, so you raise your voice and you do all kinds of stuff. It doesn't work. Even I hate to keep bringing Chester up, but with Chester too. Poor guy. I like whispering commandments to him.
Does he listen?
He does listen. He knows I'm the boss, kind of. and I will, instead of, do that, I'll go, Chester, get off the bed. And it gets his attention. He looks and he quivers. And then he gets off the bed. The point being that the commandment is from God is going to, by his authority, I mean, he has the power. And because he has that power, we will eventually listen. We may, as Harry says at first, kick and scream. But we don't have an option. Well, our days are numbered.
I'm finding that if I run out of energy, something that can be an inexorable truth.
Yeah. And it's a good truth.
You're going to get all together out of steam, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm. And before that happens, Why is it important that we have all this stuff down before we die? Is there some test that we're passing that makes it important to see the gospel now? You know, think about that. You know, if God's God, he could, you know, make us into something after we die. Whatever. I think the issue there is real clear when you think about it. For God to have true fellowship and not something that he caused to happen, but his fellowship is genuine, that's why everything had to happen the way it did, why the cross had to happen, why he has to allow suffering to take place on this planet. You can't force true fellowship. It has to be something that's genuine. Love has to be real. It can't be, you can't make someone love you and then it be a real relationship. so there's the clue as to how love really works. You know, it doesn't work by exertion, by force. It works by quietness, confidence, by the certainty that that power is substantial. And the bringing forth judgment to the Gentiles. You know, what is that judgment? Judgment is basically you are incapable. You cannot do it. And once you stop kicking, once you stop fighting truth and reality and become a part of it by picking up the cross, by the abandonment, by denial, by all those things, then something new takes place in your life. It's different. You're going to get got anyway. How long will you fight? How long will you kick against the priest? How long will you persecute the church? That's basically what it is. You're persecuting Christ in you. Trying to hold him down. Deny him. But we're fighting against someone that created the heavens, stretched out, spread forth the earth. He gave breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them. We're fighting against the, you know, force that we can't even begin to oppose. So surrender is a great option. It's interesting. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand. And will keep thee, and give thee a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. You know, he will not abandon me. And I know that's a big deal. There's probably not a soul in here that doesn't feel abandoned sometime or another. But yeah, God was a good idea yesterday, but I can't sense any of his presence today. So maybe it was just a temporary feeling. Well, that's part of the test that we all have to face. Because you will face that. And you probably face it a lot, in fact. If that's what your mind would try and tell you and convince you that God has forsaken you, he's lost interest, you didn't meet up to his demands, you weren't good enough, you didn't behave, you sinned, you walked away, I mean, your mind will tell you any number of things. And you will believe most of them. That's just the way we are. Until we've heard and are convinced and believe what God has said, and we'll turn down our mind. We'll come against it with violence. This is a violent path we're on. But the violence is you against that enemy. And that enemy is your mind. And it's never right. And it's always against you. And he'll always try and convince you that God is walking away. You're abandoned. Don't listen to it. Just don't listen to it. Just stop it. Stop it. And it's amazing, after you've done it a few times, you find that it's true that it was lying to you. It's true that your mind doesn't have your best interest at heart. And you quit trusting it. That's really the issue here. You trusted the enemy. You put your faith in the enemy. You believed. You thought it through and thought, okay, that's it. But it was always the wrong God. So put your trust completely in God. And then the effort, the essence here is to open the blind eyes. What are the blind eyes? Those who don't see clearly, those who don't understand. To bring out the prisoners from the prison. Again, who's in prison? You are. By what means? By your own devices, by what you have created. And you who sit in darkness out of the prison now, you have become immobilized in your prison of darkness because you were blind and didn't see. That Christ has been delivered to you to change all of that. Out of the prison, out of the darkness. Eyes open. And it's done by I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Why did he throw in graven images? Remember what the graven images were. The graven images are those emotional, they're the images that you have created, and they're graven in stone as idols that you worship. And those graven images don't just fall. Just because someone has preached this, we find that they don't just crumble and go away, but they lose their shine. They get scratched and messed up to the point where they're not that pristine image that you think is perfect, and you quit worshiping at that altar because you've seen that the image doesn't really have the power that you thought it did. It doesn't have the power you gave it when you created it. So you stop being a fool by bowing down to your own images of right and wrong. And by these feasts and that, again, here we are counting the omers. You count those things, and the counting is the seeing correctly. You discern it. Those good things, and you say no more. I'm not bowing down to that again. You might, but then when you catch yourself, you'll stop it. You just don't have to keep doing it. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. What is it going down into the sea? For me, it's like we are the isle. We have been raised up, and we're here, but where do we go from here? I know where I'm going. I'm going back into the sea, and I'm going to do what I do all day long, down in the sea of humanity. Am I going to forget what I saw here in the daylight? I hope not. I hope that this goes with me, and that my eyes are open there, not just, this is not just a moment and then forgotten and then a Gentile again. A Gentile is one who doesn't understand, doesn't see, that hasn't heard. That certainly has a possibility there. But from God's position as he is in us, then there is a new song. There is something. This world is not the way it was yesterday, the way you saw it all. It's a new thing. And that's our inheritance. And we get it now. I don't really understand why it has to be now. I can sense it and feel it, but there's a lot of reasons why this is important. But in him there's nothing about me that's not acceptable. And it's by his blood, shedding of his blood and the breaking of his body, by the afterman, that that's true. That's what the afterman is there to tell us. Yeah. And you're not there. There's no excuse making on Judgment Day. But I was weak. I was poor. I was tired. I was overworked. My wife made me do it. I mean, there's 100 excuses. If you ever sat in one of those things and somebody's on the hot seat and they start making excuses, it's just hilarious. I mean, you just don't get it. Silence is your only place to go. In judgment, you have been already convicted. But that's not a bad thing. You know, what's good is to see it, now. And what's great about it is then you enter into the freedom that God has already provided. He has made the way. So confess your faults. No big deal. The way has been made, and the way has already been perfected. And our inheritance is to step into the way, and we're in freedom and peace and joy and love and the fruits of the Spirit then are manifest. About this is that the expression of God has as many forms as there are people. He expresses himself differently in everyone. And what our pleasure is to behold it together, to have fellowship in him. It's so clear after being around here for an awful long time that God himself is the only thing that holds us together. Without the cross and the continuum of that, of his life being raised up, we can be friends more or less a little bit for a while, but our friendship is weak. It's not based on anything but idolatry, simply. But our continuing is based on Christ and his life and his blood. That's really obvious if you think about how long we've been around and what we've been through. There's more reason for us not to be together than to be together in the flesh. So, giving ourselves over to him, we are now at Pentecost. Pretty good. You still thinking, Pete? It looks like you're over there thinking.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's all. Anybody got anything to say? Any arguments? Well, go and experience the life within you. Come back and tell us about it.
Do you have to?
No, you don't have to. You can go one way, you can go the other.